Shareable is part of C-Suite Radio. I'm going to go out on a limb here and say that this either is or will become your favorite podcast. This is Shareable, the podcast so good you got to tell someone about it. I'm your host, Jeff Gibbard. In every episode, I talk with someone about the impact that people and technology have had on their career and their lives. So, let's get to it. I called him Aaron. I called him Aaron. But it's Aaron, if I'm correct. Aaron Walker. Oh, man. Oh, man, guys. This episode is awesome. Let me tell you how good this episode is. This episode validates why I even do this show in the first place. I love that you all listen to this show. I do. I appreciate each and every one of you that downloads, that reviews, that comments, that emails me. I love all of you. But even if you didn't, and I got to talk to people like Aaron, who he sometimes prefers to go by Big A, I would still do this. The guy's so interesting, and he's got such a legacy of successes behind him, and he's not done yet. And he's spending a ton of time coaching and mentoring and writing and just dropping knowledge like he did on today's podcast. It's so tough because I keep texting my producer, as Caroline, as I go through these episodes, and I say, this one might be my favorite. But that's not fair because they're kind of all my favorite. But this episode was just so damn good that you got to listen to it cover to cover. And make sure you go back and review it again. And make sure you check out the show notes because it's jam-packed. It's so good, it might just be shareable. Welcome back to Shareable. First of all, I just want to thank everybody that has been so supportive of the show so far. We have been climbing up the ranks. Our download numbers are extraordinary, and I'm just so humbled and honored that all of you listen to this show. I think we're really putting out some fire lately, and I'm really excited about today's guest. Aaron Walker is joining me today from Nashville, Tennessee. Aaron, tell me all about you.
Come on, Jeff. How's it going, buddy? You having a good day?
You know what? I am. I'm not really a morning person, and for those listening, we are speaking in the somewhat morning, but I am a cup of coffee deep, so I'm ready to do this, man. And not only that, but I'm feeding off your energy right now, and I'm really loving it.
I'm a morning guy, baby. I've had two pots of coffee. I get up between 4 and 4:30 every morning. I'm fired. It's time for lunch. Here it is, 9 a.m. Central Standard Time. I'm ready to go. Hey, I won't talk too much about myself, but give you a little context, who I am, what I'm about. I'm a native Nashvillian, 56 years in the sunny state of Tennessee. I love it here. Nashville's been an amazing town. I grew up, started working at 13 years old. At 18 years old, went in business for myself. At 27 years old, sold out to a Fortune 500 company, and I was done. Retired. I was finished. I like two little girls, married. Robin and I got married 2 weeks out of high school, and so we're done. And I'm like, dang, gum, life is good. And then 18 months later, I'd gained 50 pounds. I'd lost my way. I didn't have any purpose. There was no meaning. There was no reason for me to get up. Robin goes, you got to get your butt out of bed. You got to go do something. Went back, bought the company I started with when I was 13 years old, spent the next 10 years building that company. I worked 3 days a week. My partner worked the other 3 days a week. We grew that company four times the size it was when I came back, and it was amazing. I'm like, this is unbelievable. And then, Jeff, my life took a radical change. August 1st, 2001, I was headed to the office Wednesday morning, 7:30, beautiful day, hot and humid in Nashville in August. But a guy named Enrique was crossing the street to catch a local bus, didn't look my way. He was 77 years old, and I ran over and killed a pedestrian. My life literally came to a screeching halt that day. I won't take you through all that, but I sold the company, spent the next 5 years traveling. I got my legs back under me, and thankfully I had the resources to take a break, and I did the next 5 years. Getting fat and lazy again, though, Robin goes, okay, here we go. you got to do something. So we went in the construction business. We became number one builder 3 consecutive years in Middle Tennessee. Spent the next 8 or 9 years building real high-end residence and small commercial. I turned 50 years old 6 years ago, and I hung it up. I said, I'm done this time. Well, I've been in a mastermind group now for a couple of decades with Dave Ramsey and Dan Miller, Ken Abraham. Ken's got 115 books in print now. Jeff Mosley owns INO Records. There's some names you may or may not recognize. But they came to me and they said, what are you going to do now? I said, I'm done. I'm finished. And they said, no, you're not. Dan Miller said, that's the most selfish thing I've ever heard you say in my life. And I went, what do you mean? He said, you've got 12 businesses now behind you. You and Robin have been married 35 years. And you mean to tell me at 50 years old, you're done? He said, you need to coach. So I won't take you through that whole journey, but 18 months later, Dave Ramsey and Dan Miller encouraged me to coach, and I started coaching. Jeff, now we have national and international clients. We have about 70 men in our mastermind group that I facilitate 7 masterminds a week and lead 10 men in video conference rooms where we help ordinary men become extraordinary. And Jeff, I'm having more fun today than I've ever had in my entire life. Collectively, all 12 businesses compiled, I'm having more fun today than I've ever had. So that's a 38-year journey I gave you in 5 minutes. And if you want to break any of it down, I'm happy to.
Oh, we're going to break all this down. And let me just say that that story, that introduction, you breaking down that, that's why I do this podcast, man, is every guest that comes on here has a different journey, has a different story. And your story has so many different pieces to unpack. I'm going to see what we can get through in this podcast, but I feel like you've got a lot to offer and there's a lot we could talk about. So this podcast is about the impact of people and technology on our lives. And I think given the story that you just told, that there's a lot of different roads that we could go down. So the first thing I like to do though, is get a sense of who my guest is in terms of how they relate to technology. And you've given me a lot about the people that have been part of your life so far, but we're going to go down different pathways. But let's start with the technology piece so I can get to know you from that perspective. And it gives my guests and me a little bit of a framework to understand from guest to guest kind of how they relate to technology. So I'm going to ask you a couple quick questions, and I just want you to tell me where you land on them. But the first one would be, do you consider yourself an early adopter or a late adopter of technology?
Early.
Okay. On a scale of 1 to 10, where would you say you are on a technology usage kind of standpoint?
Yeah, 8.
Okay, good. And then as far as how you operate online, when you go, you know, onto social networks, onto the internet, are you more likely to create content or curate other things and share them with people, comment on somebody else's stuff, or just kind of quietly watch things?
Create. We have hundreds of blogs. I've done 350 podcast interviews. We have more content created than I'll use in 3 lifetimes.
That's wonderful. And then final question, the phone that's in your pocket, in your hand, or sitting right next to you, is it an iPhone, an Android, or something else?
iPhone 6 Plus.
Beautiful. All right, so here's where I want to go first. Again, the podcast is really about how these two forces impact us, right? Because every human being on this planet is impacted by these two forces, people and technology. No matter whether they want to or not, people are going to have a profound impact on the journey that they take, whether or not they succeed or fail. And the same thing is true with technology. They can be either things that you leverage for the benefit of your life, or they can become massive disruptors and you can see them as the threat. So I want to talk to you about technology and how you've chosen in your life to use it. Because when people think technology, the first thing that they inevitably think is, oh, that's a young person's game. And that's not to say that you're an old person, but just to say that in the frame that most people think of it, they think that technology is the space of young people. And you're 56 and you've had a tremendous amount of success in your career. You've built companies, you've sold companies, and you've created a ton of content. You've adapted. So how would you say that your choice to use technology the way that you have has impacted your life and your career?
Oh my goodness. Without a question. I mean, I'm very proactive in learning. I'm a conference junkie. I read 2 hours a day, every day. I'm constantly pursuing personal development. And you have to in order to be successful. You don't learn through osmosis. You just don't wake up one day, Jeff, smarter than you did the day before. You've got to very intentionally listen to podcasts like Shareable, and you've got to do TED Talks, and you've got to read great blogs, and you've got to hear information and get on webinars and go to Social Media Marketing World and Podcast Movement, and you fill in the blank what's good for you. But man, I'll spend 10% of my gross income a year on personal development, and you have to do that in order to propel yourself to the next level. Because like you said, you can either adopt it and accept it or decline it. And if you're going to decline it, you're going to be left in the dust. And man, I'm 56, but I'm 25 in my mind. And so we've got to take it and go with it. It's the world that we have today. I mean, think about the horse and buggy. Everybody said, oh, they're going to ruin it with those vehicles. Well, where would we be today without Ford Motor Company, right? It's you have to get on and go with it. Now, let me say this, though. Man, we have built some really strong boundaries because I love my wife, and I'm not going to in any way disrupt my relationship with her. And it is easy to do with technology because being location independent, I can work from anywhere. Like, you have no clue really where I'm at. I could be in the islands in the Caribbean, or I could be in an office in Manhattan. And I love that. And technology affords me that privilege. But I got to be careful because I can put that ahead of my family because I can't work from anywhere. I can't just turn out the light and go home. So you got to be real careful with it.
I love that because, you know, the question that I ask is always very specifically framed about how you choose to use technology. And what you've alluded to there is just a number of things. And I want to dig into a couple of things. But what I want to point out for the listeners that's, I think, really interesting here is that you've chosen to use technology as an amplifier and something that can allow you to take on things that without it you wouldn't be able to, right? But at the same time, you've chosen to establish very clear boundaries. And those boundaries that you've set are entirely dependent upon how it impacts your relationship with your wife or with your friends. And I think that's a really poignant point that with all of this technology going on, it's important to be conscious of setting those boundaries. And that's a theme that's come up a couple times, and I like that you pointed that out. Where I want to go a little deeper with you is you've been an early adopter, and you've seen technology as that force that can move you forward. Can you think of a particular time throughout your career where a technology has come in and you saw that opportunity and decided to capitalize on it so that it could push you further forward?
Oh, yeah, man. I got a great story for that. I didn't know that was going to be one of the questions, but immediately what comes to my mind. So let me go back real quick. Like you said, I'm 56 years old. I was in bricks and mortar forever. So technology, I didn't even need technology. I didn't need the social media because I had retail stores and it was all geographically located. So I didn't care anything about people in other states, much less, you know, international clients. And so everything was local. So I didn't need it. So when I started this business several years ago, someone said, you need to get on podcast. And I went, okay, I'll be happy to. What is it? And they said, well, here's what it is. And they explained to me what it was. And it worked so well that I've even started a business out of it. I own Interview Valet. It's a company where a concierge white glove service. We get people on podcast and we provide everything that they need in order to get on there. We train them. We give them the equipment. We schedule the appointment. We do everything for them. That's a direct result of me being a guest on podcast. So that's one way in technology. Another way is about a year ago, they, you know, introduced to me Facebook Live, and I'm like, explain to me what that is. And so they told me. And so I go walking every day on the Station Camp Greenway. So I'm walking the Greenway every day and I've got my phone in my back pocket and I feel kind of inspired to share a message. And I thought, hey, that Facebook Live thing they're talking about. So I got my phone, took me about 15 minutes to figure it out. So I just threw it up in the air and I went, hey, Big A, coming to you live from the Station Camp Greenway. And I shared my message. Well, my phone lit up like a Christmas tree. People were commenting. I'm getting texts. I'm getting phone calls. Emails are coming in, Facebook messages. And I'm like, dead gum, where in the world? And so I started answering all the questions. Well, the next day I go back, Jeff, I do it again. Well, that was a year ago. I've done hundreds of coming to you live from the Station Camp Greenway. As a result of that, I've bought that domain. We are now transcribing all the Facebook Lives that I've done, making an ebook out of it. We've hired a VA to take that and repurpose it and make blog content. We've taken all the Facebook Lives and we've made a YouTube channel out of it. There's a guy in India that's watching these that owns a digital marketing company. Excuse me. Has 106. I get so excited. I can't talk. My brain is moving faster than my mouth. And this guy has 160 digital marketers that work for him. And they want to bring me to India to spread our message as a direct result of my coming to you live from the Station Camp Greenway. And it all has come about as a direct result of using technology. It is unbelievable the doors that have opened, people joining our mastermind, joining our community, hiring me as their coach, all as a direct result of me going after something I was unfamiliar with. Facebook Live videos transformed our business.
So it is not at all surprising to me that your Facebook Lives would take off, and it's even less surprising that you would have no trouble, one, being a podcast guest, but two, getting additional podcast appearances. Interview valet aside, you know, I think the fact that just talking to you as long as we have been, you know, you're a dynamic personality, you've got a lot of energy, you got a lot of passion for what you do. So it's really no surprise whatsoever that you've succeeded in any sort of a format where you can come through either through audio or through video. So as somebody who's this dynamic, you probably have no trouble meeting people and making friends. And as a coach, you understand the importance of giving people guidance and mentorship, holding them accountable and doing all the things that a coach does. So talk to me a little bit about someone who's done that for you in your life, where you go back and you think about somebody who may have course corrected you. You mentioned your wife saying, you know, get up, you're getting fat and lazy, go. And you've talked about, you know, the people in your mastermind group who hold you accountable and say, you know, that's selfish, you know, you got to get out there and give back. But go earlier, go further back and think back in the early life of Aaron Walker and say, okay, who was the first thing that comes to your mind, the first person that said something to you, the right thing at the right time, at the right place, that altered the trajectory of your life, either personally or professionally?
Yeah, man, I got tons of people that I can go back to, and I'll start real early. My mom was a huge catalyst for my success. Not that she even knew it, because we were very poor. Like I said, man, we were raised in a $6,500 house and we lost it in bankruptcy. I know all about being broke and poor. I had to move in with my cousin. I didn't do without food or shelter, but we didn't have anything. But my mom had a saying when I was a kid. I hated it at the time, but I've adopted it as my life mantra. And here it is. It's silly. Can't, couldn't do it, but could, did it all. And she'd say, you might not be able to do this, but you're going to try. She wouldn't allow us to say can't. It's the title of my new book in the first chapter, Can't, Couldn't Do It, and Could Did It All. And I started thinking through that. And I thought, how in the world has this transformed my life? Because my mom drove confidence into me. She made me believe in myself. She forced me to try things. She made me push through upper limit challenges. And because of that, I developed this self-awareness, this confidence. And then I'm like, today, people say, Big A, can you do this? Yes. What is it? Give me a minute to figure it out. I can do it. And I developed a mindset shift that allowed me to do that. The other thing was fear. It holds us back, Jeff. Everybody is afraid of something. I coach men literally all over the world. I coach men that are just starting, and I coach men that make millions of dollars a year. And here's the number one thing. They're afraid of something. Oftentimes, it's failure. And I tell these guys, first of all, I don't believe in failure. And you're like, oh, yeah, you're one of them. No, I'm truthful. I don't believe in failure. I believe you either succeed or you learn. And what you need to do is take those things that you learn and adapt and pivot and change, and you will be successful. If you adopt that can't, couldn't do it, and could did it all mindset, now you have confidence and you develop a sense of overcoming your fears. And I say fear missing an opportunity more than you fear failure. See, it would kill me to lay there in bed at night and think, would it have worked? That would drive me insane. I'd rather try it and it didn't work, and at least I know. See, failure is in not trying, not in not succeeding. And there are people all over the world that they're afraid that if they do it, it won't work. Well, you're just the same as everybody else. You're average. My mom used to say, when I bring home a C, I'd say, Mom, that's average. And she said, it's just as close to the bottom as it is the top. And you're above average and you can do better than that. And I won't allow you to have C's. And she propelled me and pushed me. And she said, you can do this. And it developed that confidence. And I overcame whatever. First of all, Jeff, people are not talking about you like you think. You're not that popular. And mm-hmm. I'm not either. People are not sitting around their dinner table going, Jeff succeeded or Jeff failed. They don't even care. They're interested in what they've got going on. Yet we let it hold us back. Guys, quit doing that. Quit being afraid that you might fail. I'm telling you, you'll have a life like you've never experienced if you're willing to risk a little bit more.
I completely agree with you. I actually was just on a podcast with Doug Sandler, the Nice Guys on Business, and the title of the episode is Using Fear as Fuel. Because to me, the fear, I love the fear because the fear is what motivates me to get out of bed. I refuse to not try. And I'm like you. I would rather get up, do something and fail at it, or I guess not the word fail because you don't use that word, but not succeed at what I did and learn from it than I would to look back and say, what if? I can't do the what if thing because I remember earlier on in my life, as a young single guy, the greatest regrets I always had were just not asking the girl to dance or whatever that might be. And to your point, you don't notice about me, but one of my kind of side hustles is that I have an online dating consultancy, and I give a lot of people different dating advice. And to your point, they're always worried about what the other person thinks, what the other person says and all this. And I always try to remind them, most people are more concerned about themselves and they're more worried about how they are being perceived to even worry about what it is that you're doing. They're thinking about themselves like, oh, did I wear the right shirt? Did I say the right thing? And they're tripping themselves out rather than worrying about what you're saying.
Here's the thing, Jeff. The answer is always no unless you ask. Right?
Yeah.
Always.
Yeah.
So here's the thing. So my book, View from the Top, that we're right in the middle of the launch now, I sent it to Seth Godin and I said, hey, I want you to endorse my book. Quickly, I got a reply back and said, hey, Aaron, thanks for sending it to me. I'm sure it's a good book. I'm right in the middle of writing right now myself. I don't have time to deal with it. I'm going to have to pass. Well, it hurt my feelings. I'm like, oh, man, I wanted his endorsement so bad. So we go on. I'm okay. I lick my wounds and I get over it and get these other endorsements, which I've got amazing endorsements for our new book. So I wrote another book called The Mastermind Blueprint. It's to help people understand how to build an effective mastermind group. And I thought, you know what? I'm going to send it to Seth again. And most people would go, no, he turned me down. I'm not going to do that. And I thought, no just means no for now. It doesn't mean no forever. Send him the book. Man, I don't know what happened. 48 hours, I get this rave review back from him and says, man, awesome job. Great book. Well, whose endorsement do you think is on the front cover? Seth Godin. And it's only because I ask him. He can say no. I ask people all the time. I get a lot of no's, but I get a lot of yeses. And you're not going to get any yeses unless you have the courage to ask. Guys, quit being afraid and go out there and go for it.
And just to add to that, I love everything you're saying because I think it so resonates with, I think probably a lot of the experiences our listeners have had where they've gone out and done something and it's led to something great. But I take it one step further in my mind. I hear out of that, it's not just about the thing you're trying to do and that accomplishment, but everything that comes next. So I'll give you a quick example. This podcast is actually almost the exact same as that story in the sense that we had a podcast before this and we reached out to a bunch of guests. And just by reaching out to certain people that before we were scared to reach out to, and we said, screw it, we'll go for it. We ran into someone who said, we like what you're doing. We'd like you to join our podcast network, which led us to create a new show, which led us to, release this new show, Shareable. And we've since been able to talk to amazing guests, had success well beyond our previous one, and all of the opportunities that are opening up as a result of that one thing, which was that we reached out to somebody who we were otherwise scared to do. So it's like the chain reaction of not just did that person say they would come onto the show, which they did, but even further that they opened up another door, and then that door opened up another door. So it's not even that you should be willing to do that thing for the result you're chasing, but for all of the benefits that might come after it.
That is so true, Jeff, and that is so good. And there's some things that we do now that I've learned. Can I give two or three technology tips that practically speaking, people can use today that will propel their business to the next level?
Aaron, I think you're amazing, and I would let you talk about anything you want, whether it's technology or underwater basket weaving or dancing. Go for it, man. Tell us
about it. We'll talk about underwater basket weaving in a minute, but let me just tell you something. And guys, listen to me for a second. I want you to stop what you're doing. Just listen for me. I got a couple of things I want to say that I think will help you immeasurably. I have built 12 businesses. We're on number 13, 14, and 15 right now. Okay, I'm 56 years old. We have had good success, okay? I'm not saying that to boast. I'm saying I know what I'm talking about when I'm fixing to tell you. And here's the thing, if you'll do. There's a great book that Adam Grant wrote called Givers and Takers. You've got to read that book because you're one or the other. If you want to be highly successful in your business, you have to become a giver. You have to. Now, I'm not talking about just financially speaking. We spend 25% of our day, I'm not exaggerating, we spend 25% of our day thinking about how we can promote other people. Now, let me give you some real practical examples. So I'll stand before my computer and all the time. I'm not talking about sometimes. I'm talking about regularly. And let me just give you an example. We'll use you, Jeff, as an example. I'll do an endorsement before you ask me. Like if I really think you rock, now I don't blow smoke up people's hind end. I don't do that. I'm talking about really, I believe in people. I'll stand before my computer on Zoom and I'll hit the record button and I'll go, hey, Aaron Walker here, president and founder of View from the Top. I got to tell you about my friend, Jeff. Jeff owns Shareable Podcast. Oh my gosh, have you ever been on there? Have you ever listened to it? This guy is amazing. He's got great questions. He's an amazing guy. He's a man of character. He has high morals, his values, he's integrity ridden. The guy is incredible. You got to check out my friend, Jeff, at Shareable Podcast. And I'll hit stop. And I'll email that to you and you'll go, what in the world? I did that the other day for a real noted person. Y'all all would know who it was. And in 5 minutes, I get a text. It says, Aaron, do you mind if I put this out in my social media? Oh, let me think about that for a minute. Yeah, sure you can. They have thousands of followers. Well, first of all, it made them feel good. So it endeared a relationship with me and that person like none other because they didn't ask for it. I gave it before they asked for it. So it gave me credibility because it's now I'm in front of their whole audience. That's one example. I do text videos all the time. I'll be walking. I walked yesterday. I walk every day 3 to 5 miles. I'm on the greenway and I'm walking. I pick up my phone. I've got my gimbal, you know, that keeps it from shaking and I'll put my Beat earphones in and my sound is amazing. And I'll go, hey, Bobby, man, I had you on my mind this morning. Man, I just want to tell you, I'm watching you from afar and you're doing amazing things. Thank you for being a part of our community. Well, how do you think that made him feel? He's like, see, you do that all the time. And I sent out about 6 of those yesterday morning while I was walking. They see me smiling. They feel my energy. I'm about them. I'm helping them. I send emails all the time, words of encouragement, text, words of encouragement, endorsements. I get on LinkedIn and I promote people all the time. I go to Ray Edwards and I go to his conference. I go outside and I'll do a 5-minute video. I was just at Social Media Marketing World. And I went outside and did a 5-minute video promoting Michael Stelzner because his event is insane. It's crazy. It's so good. You got to come to it. He texts me later. He goes, hey, Aaron, this is crazy. I mean, like, I'm like, dude, you rock. Jeff Goins, Tribe Riders. I do the same thing for Jeff. See, we spend, you know what? I get now invitations to speak at Social Media Marketing World and Podcast Movement. And I get invited to be on podcasts, not because I'm that good, but because I'm thinking of other people. I'm giving, I'm helping, I'm promoting. If you want your business to grow, quit trying to make the sale and think how you can add values to others and the money will come pouring back. But if you hold your cards close to the vest and you only think about yourself, how can I suck the life out of this guy? How can I get this? People know that Dave Ramsey and I are best friends. People ask me all the time, will you introduce me to Dave Ramsey? No. No, I won't introduce you to Dave Ramsey. You ain't done the work. You need to promote financial peace. You need to breathe life into him. You need to help him. I'm not going to introduce you to him just so you can suck out of him everything that you can get for yourself. That's not the way it works. You need to promote. I promoted people for years. And then when it was time for me to write my book, I've got pages of endorsements in my book because I spent the time, effort, and energy breathing into other people. You want to be successful? Don't hear anything else on this interview that I'm telling you other than this. Learn to be a giver.
Mic drop moment, shareable listeners. Yo, Aaron, I'm loving having you on this podcast. Seriously, well, hey, and you—I think you are that good. I think you are that good. You can't say it about yourself, but I'm going to say it.
Thank you. You're awesome, man. Listen, I just know, guys. I know what I'm talking about. It's the people that do what I'm telling you to do that are crushing it. They're killing it because they're looking outward. They're not looking inward. Now, let me just tell you something. Here, this is the truth of it. I'm being totally transparent here. It took an accident August 1st, 2001 to get me to realize this. I killed a pedestrian. So I thought, what would my legacy have been? My legacy would have been he was 27 years old. He was able to quit. Nobody cared but me. And then I started thinking through that. I thought, oh, that's not the legacy I want to leave. I want to leave a legacy of your life is better as a result of having known me. That's the legacy I want to leave. And I couldn't have done it because all I did was look inward. All I was doing was thinking about myself. Here's what's happened. I've become much more significant over the course of the past 17 years and twice as successful financially. It just works when you start looking outward. A rising tide lifts all ships. It's true. And I want to tell you, when you stop thinking about yourself, you stop thinking about how you can get things for yourself, and you focus on your community, and you lay there in bed at night thinking, how can I give more value? How can I encourage them? How can I help them reach their goals? Your life will change radically.
I dig it, man. And look, you've obviously been through the ups and clearly the downs, and you've got it together. You know what I mean? And I think the advice you've just given is incredible advice. But I also want to poke at you a little bit and push back and ask you this. You are now at a point in your career where you have a really good head on your shoulders about how you operate. You've been through a lot. You've got success and you're still going on and trying to make more things happen. But there are times throughout your career where things have been tough. And you said you don't believe in failure. It's just things that you learn, right? Well, talk to me about the big one. What's the big lesson that you wish that you learned earlier on that could have made your life a lot easier?
Yeah, listening to other people. See, when I sold my business at 27 years old, I didn't have any trusted advisors. See, all I had was one life experience and one filter. I didn't have a way to look at other things. Recently, I'll give you a great example, very practical. I did a construction project at my personal home, and there was a problem with the construction. They couldn't solve it. And so we had engineers come, we had general contractors come, experts come, and they all looked at the problem, couldn't fix it. And I'm like frustrated. I mean, I'm getting like, why can't we fix this? So I'm sitting out on my patio and I'm doing a coaching call and I'm looking at it from a different angle and I solve it immediately. We were looking at it from the wrong perspective. That's the way our life is. We only have one lens. You only know what you know. And you don't know what you don't know. But when you get around people that are smart, that are trusted advisors, that have nothing to gain or lose as a result of what they tell you, like my mastermind. I was going to do a business deal recently. I was convinced it was awesome. Robin was convinced it was awesome. I'm a person of faith. So we prayed about it. I read scripture. I studied. I'm like, ready to go. Robin goes, what's your guys think? And I said, I hadn't presented it yet. She goes, let's see what they say. I go and talk to them. 8 of the 10 guys told me not to do it. I'm like, well, you got to be kidding me. And they said, no. And they started telling me why. I said, I didn't even know that. I didn't even know to know that. I have never had that life experience. I couldn't see it from that perspective. I went back with my tail tucked between my legs and Robin goes, okay, what'd they say? I said, we're not doing it. She said, what do you mean? And I started reeling off the reasons. And she goes, oh my gosh, if we had done that, it would have been a miserable failure. You've got to get people around you. You've got to subject yourself to the scrutiny of others. You've got to let the veil down. You got to be transparent. You got to be vulnerable. You've got to be honest. Stop lying to yourself. And you've got to listen to trusted advisors around you. So what would I do? I would get people around me. I ask a million questions. I always have asked a million questions since I discovered this. See, we don't want to ask those questions because we're afraid of what we might hear. And then we got to deal with the truth. Other people see you differently than you see yourself. You have got to subject yourself to that scrutiny. And when you do, your life will radically be transformed. I would never not have an accountability group and a mastermind group until I die. Until Jesus comes back or I drop over dead, one or the other, I'm going to be meeting with guys. For 30 years now, I've been meeting with guys on a Friday morning, and we share life together. Everything we tell, nothing, no stone goes unturned because we don't know what we don't know.
So let me ask you this. You've given a lot of amazing advice in this episode. I think just hearing the experiences you've been through and the way that you approach things, my hope is that everybody really takes this episode to heart and listens to the things that you've said. But I want to ask you to try and boil down one thing for people to do at the end of this episode. So they listen to this episode with you and I, and we're having this conversation. At the very end of it, you want them to do one thing today. As they're listening to it, when they get done with this episode, you want them to do one thing. What's that one thing you think they should go do that'll make their life better or their career better? What is it?
Yeah. Now, here's what you need to do. There's three documents that I wrote over the course of, you know, my career. One of them is a personal assessment. You got to be gut level honest with yourself. We're too busy lying to ourselves. We're not telling ourselves the truth. We're telling ourselves what we want to hear, and we're not owning up to the truth. And I wrote an assessment called personal assessment. It deals with your identity, your ideals, your relationship, your career, your faith, your family. There's another one I wrote called What Do I Want? Most people don't know. If I were to ask you today, and I won't, Jeff, because I don't want to put you on the spot, but if I were to say tomorrow morning, geographically or financially, you had no limitations, what would you do with your life? Most people can't answer that. They don't know proactively how to live their life. They're living reactively. They're trying to make as much money as they can. Give me bigger, better, shinier, faster. Just give me more. And it's maybe not good for you. It may be even unnecessary. You may not even need to make the kind of money that you're wanting to make in order to live the life that you were created to live. This document helps you uncover that. People say, hey, I understand who I am now after this document. I understand what I want, but I don't know what to do next. I wrote Steps to a Productive Day, and it starts you out early. I'm very regimented. I get up early between 4 and 5 every morning. I spend the first hour and a half, 2 hours. I go through prayer, meditation. I listen to praise and worship music. I just sit and listen. I'm just quiet. It starts my day every day. I've done that for years and years and years and decades probably. So it's the way I start every day. I read every day for a couple of hours. I want to learn. I want to grow through the personal development stages. And this document helps you understand that, and it helps track that every day. It's a productivity tool. I've taken the prices off of it. I'm not trying to sell it to you. I'm going to give it to your listeners. So if you'll go to viewfromthetop.com/shareable, all in lowercase letters, I've allowed those to be there, and you can download them. If you'll do that, I promise you it will radically change your life.
I absolutely love it, and I encourage everybody that is listening to go and do those three documents. And then just when we turn it around, if I think you said we're going to do the Now You Do Me episode where you're the host and I'm the guest, but I'm willing to be put on the spot anytime. My listeners know that, my friends know that, and now you know that, so we're good with that. You ready for some rapid-fire questions?
I'm ready.
All right, cool. So what are the apps in your dock on your iPhone?
Yeah, Google Docs. You know, I'm big in Google Docs, and we use those. There's tons of apps there. I don't use a lot of them. I mean, I don't use on my phone. I don't need a lot of them, you know. But we have, you know, there's just not a lot there that I use on my phone.
So, but on the four that are right near the home button, the ones that are closest to your thumb at the bottom that are always present, which are the four that are there? Or do you only have one?
Oh, no. I've used text messaging, of course, my phone, Facebook, and Gmail, you know, is the primary of the ones I use.
Those are your four. Okay, cool. What's the one application, mobile, desktop, or the web that you can't live without because it's so useful?
Text Expander.
text expander.
Oh my goodness. Do you know what it is?
No. Tell me about
you,
it.
All right, here we go. Cost you 40, 50 bucks a year. So I get the same question over and over, right? People, so I go in, I build these templates in text expander, and then I can hit command, you know, asterisk, and then a code, 123 or schedule or whatever. And it auto populates the field in my email. You can do it on your phone, same way. You just remember what the code is, and then you can customize it. And I don't have to continue to write this over and over and over. You can build it with all of the links in it, my coaching programs, podcast hosts reach out, and I've got a really nice scripted email. It's in text expander. I just hit command asterisk and the code, and it auto populates. I sign it, put something personal, boom, it's gone.
That's
text
awesome.
Expander. Everybody on our team has it. It's the bomb.
Awesome. I'm going to make sure that everybody on that listens to this knows about it. We'll put a link in the show notes. Next rapid fire question. Every social media site is going to be deleted tomorrow. I don't know if you read about this, but lucky for you, I've been chosen to nominate someone to save one of them. And I'm going to nominate you to save one social media site. Which one gets to live on?
Facebook.
Okay. What's one book that every business person should read? Caveat, we're going to list all of your books in the show notes. So barring your books, what's one book that every business person should read? It can be fiction, nonfiction, whatever.
Yeah, it's a classic. You ought to be forced to read it before you get out of high school. It's been around for 60 or 70 years. How to Win Friends and Influence People.
One of my favorite books. I'm so glad you said it. All right, here's the final rapid fire question. This is the last question I'm going to ask you on this podcast. If you could have any superpower, what would it be?
The ability to build relationships even faster because it's your number one asset.
Interesting. So like the ability to like you meet someone, you shake their hand, then all of a sudden you have the depth of a relationship that could take years to build.
Absolutely, because it's everything.
That is the first time I've ever heard it, and I absolutely love it. So this is the point in the show where I say thank you for coming onto the show and taking your time out of your day. I know that you're a busy person, but I want to give you this point in the show to talk about anything that you're working on, where people can connect with you, where they can learn about what you're working on, buy your books, or whatever else you feel like promoting. This is your time in the show.
Jeff, thank you, buddy, and I won't take but a second. There's one thing I want you to do. Right now, we're in the middle of my book launch, and here's the deal. Here's what we're doing. You go to viewfromthetop.com/book. And when you go there and buy my book and you pre-order it, and we are pushing it hard and heavy for a number of reasons. First of all, I believe in my message. Without a question, this book will help you live a life of significance. No question about it. It's a memoir of such. I tell my life story, but I also tell in there how to set boundaries. How I retired at 27. I tell about my Eagles group with Dave Ramsey, and I tell everything about my life. I'm totally transparent in this book, but I also am giving to people that pre-order it before the launch, June 20th, 5 interviews that I do with some very notable people. One of them led a $175 billion company for 10 years. This guy's incredible, and he tells some nuggets that you won't believe. I give you those 5 interviews. The other book I was telling you about earlier that I wrote, The Mastermind Blueprint, that Seth Godin, I give you that book also. And so you can get 5 interviews, The Mastermind Blueprint, and a copy of View from the Top, all for the price of the copy of View from the Top. So go to viewfromthetop.com/book, pre-order it right now, pay for it. We'll send it to you sometime between now and June the 20th when the launch is. Jeff, listen, buddy, it has been amazing to be on your show. You're such a great host. I know you offer so much value to your listeners, and it's been a privilege.
Thank you so much for coming on, man. I really appreciate it. And for all you shareable listeners out there, I'm going to, on the spot right now, make up a completely unrehearsed and unplanned promotion. But if you go to iTunes and leave a review for us and mention this episode, we're going to pick a winner out of that, and we're going to sign you up to buy a copy of this book as well as all the other goodies that come along with it, because we love you, and we hope that you support us and we support you for listening to us. So thank you so much for listening. Please come back on further episodes, and I am certain, without a doubt, I'm certain of this fact that this episode is shareable.
That was so much fun. I can't even believe the guests that we get. I mean, can you believe the guests that we get?
I can, actually. I schedule them.
awesome. Well done. Well, this episode for me was an absolute blast, and I hope everyone listening really enjoyed it. But now that we're in this fun little outro, what should people do next?
I think they should check us out on iTunes.
Definitely go check us out on iTunes. And when you get there, subscribe, drop us a review, and then what's that one last thing we want them to do?
I don't know.
Share the episode.
Oh, that's right.
That's right. It's in the name. So please share this episode, tell everyone you know, and we'll see you on the next episode of Shareable.
Bye.